Welcome to PWA Radio. I'm your host, Rob Robinson. I'm sure you found us at www.the-pwa.com or pwaradio.com. With us is our esteemed colleague, Mark McNasty. Say hi, Mark.
Bum-chicka-wow-wow.
Yeah. We've got we got Chameleon with us, as unfortunately, seemingly always.
I'm not even going to try to follow that one up.
Yeah. We also have, all the way from Parts Unknown, Project X.
Yep, been snubbed more times than Matt Damon, but I finally have my own episode.
Yeah, I had to fuck my wife to do it, but yes. And
good lay.
Really? I heard she starfished.
I like it when they just lie there like that.
Yeah, I prefer them on top, because I don't like to do any of the work, but that's a little bit too much about me. And we've got another guest here. Go ahead and introduce yourself there.
Do I have a name, or am I just going to be
Oh, I don't know. I said to introduce yourself.
You tried to do it subtly.
I know, that's right. You can either call me Bean or the Blind Pimp, the person in charge of managing professionals.
Wow, thank you. I spit soda out for that. The Blind Pimp. That's...
You liked that, didn't you?
I did like that, especially with the accent. That's fan fucking tastic.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it, then.
Yeah, you can't just hop all over people's catchphrases, because we need those for various reasons. Now, here's what we're going to do, folks. If you're a regular listener of the show, and I'm positive that you are. Then you would have noticed that last week we did not have an episode because...
Rob claimed that he left his keys at home, you bastard.
Yeah, actually, I was a little bit upset because I walked in on Project X boning my wife, and I couldn't stop laughing much. So we're going to make up for it this week. We're going to quickly go over the results of the May 30th shows. As though anybody actually gives a damn about anything that happened that night. Yeah. So, let's talk quick here. We got Chaos. We got Bronx Williams managing a win over my main man here, Kyle, the Iceman. Or the Iceman, Kyle Stevenson? I guess that's how it'll work. You know what, McNasty? You talk about the fucking 30th. I'm going to take a drink here because I spit my soda all out and I'm still thirsty.
It was such an exciting night. I think one of my favorite parts for me talking about karma was when the Razor Dolls got their ass handed to them by the O'Connor boys. Oh, that was.
Would that be asses? Plural?
It could be, but I mean, they're so scrawny. I mean, if you push them together, you might have two cheeks, but I'm not sure. Anyway, we move on to the main show. That was quite an interesting night. Fire managed to
Wait a minute there, Skippy. What about Legend Nightmare?
Who gives a shit?
Okay, what about Matthew, the Virus Engel, and Scar?
Let me reiterate. Who gives a shit?
Okay, well, one of those was a draw, and the other one, Scar, lost. So there. You happy? You got it? Okay.
Shame Matt Engel couldn't pull that... and pull win streak, that bastard. But anyway.
Hey, the positive thing about Chaos, it was one of the longer shows we'd seen in a while.
Yeah, but with matches like that, is that a good thing?
I don't know. It gets people wanting the better show quicker. So
not with Matthew.
It's a good build-up.
Even though we're being quick, why don't we...
Yes?
I think you'd like to take this one. Why don't you remind us what happened between Fire and SNS? I'm sure you'd love to talk
about actually,
it.
Hang on. Speaking of Quick, you have any comments on this, PX?
What was that?
I said, speaking of Quick, you know, going by what my wife told me, you have any comments about Chaos?
Nah. I'll just fast forward the tape and on the Rampage.
Oh, okay. Good enough. All right.
He knows where it is. He's on the boat.
I just had to jump on the Quick joke. So, all right. Yeah. Let's. Yeah. What about Rampage now? What about Fire and SNS?
Come on, Chameleon. You should be willing to take this one.
Well, Fire definitely showed she had some skill in winning that match, and Strader got a hand on me, and then he ran. He's gone. Typical. But Fire reclaimed the television championship, and that was cool. But I'm looking forward to next week more than what happened last week. So,
Well, we did have Fire, of course, you know, when, like you said, we had the walking infection, Riona Langley. Beaten the Grim Reaper and Chameleon.
And Chameleon, as a service to yourself, I hope you went and got tested.
Is that coming up for the health plan?
Yeah, actually, after that match, I had to go and talk to my brother about including a better health plan for the PWA. So,
right after he gets off the better structural integrity of cage matches.
Yeah.
Well, but I didn't get pinned by Riona, not this time. My curse isn't lifted, but it wasn't any worse than before. Reaper got a pin on me, good for him, but we'll talk about what happened this week, so a little later.
Indeed we will. Of course, your brother battled Corey Lazarus to a draw. We got PX.
Match of the night.
Defeated Alex Wilkie. In the first bit of the old gauntlet match. And then Lex Demise came out. He turned around. He beat PX. The Phoenix making a heroic effort. Fresh out of the hospital just earlier that afternoon, came out and just beat the stuffing out of Lex Demise.
And then
unfortunately, he... since
Phoenix
he had,
gets...
Yeah, shut
whipped.
The fuck up, big nasty. I'm talking. I am the host. I am the host. You are the bitch. Now, hang on. And then, unfortunately, since Phoenix hadn't had anything to eat except for IV fluid for a week, he wasn't able to put up enough of a fight, and McNasty became the number one contender for Lazarus' title. What?
Always with the excuses, Rob. You just can't take the fact that you got whipped for 2 weeks in a row.
Well, you know, it's easy to say that whenever you come in as the last man in a gauntlet match. And
yeah, but if you have quality, I mean, fuck, I could have made it through two people. I mean, come on.
But you didn't.
Oh, yeah. Well, I still walked away winner. I don't feel like I got to prove shit. So, I'm happy.
Oh, you still got to prove it next week, dude.
You still got to get the title.
We don't need excuses. We need results.
That's what I intend to give.
All right. So, that's going to take care of Chaos for the 30th, the last Chaos of May. And then, of course... Oh, and Rampage, too. I guess there was also a Rampage in there. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. I'm very sad.
As long as you're sad, I've got something to perk you up, Rob. Speaking of it being the end of May, we happened to pick up Match of the Month, if you didn't notice.
Oh, I did notice, because I was fucking there. What I didn't notice was apparently last week's Wrestler of the Month, or the week, I mean. That was... pointed out to me, but yes, Match of the Month is fan-fucking-tastic for the Big Battle Dome, the return of the Big Battle Dome, so congratulations for me. Now, there was apparently a Rampage earlier today, so let's talk about that. We had Deacon Frost, two-time show guest Deacon Frost, defeated Lex Demise, who's on kind of a bit of a losing streak. Lately. You have to go back to May 23rd for the last time he won a match. On Chaos. Man, what was the last time? I guess you gotta go all the way back to May 9th to find a, you know what? I don't even think it was May 9th. When was the last time that Demise... Yeah, May 9th, Demise won a match on Rampage. So, not exactly an A-show guy. We had Might and Magic. They took on the O'Connor boys and whipped some ass in a street fight. We had Scar defeating Jonathan Cage. How many matches has Scar been in now? That's his second match?
Rob, you really don't want to address that match you were in?
I'm skimming through the results, and we can talk about Rampage here in a little bit more in depth.
Bullshit.
And anyway, we'll get back to that. So Scar was. I want to talk about Scar here for a second, though. Was that Scar's second match?
I think it was his third.
His third. Yeah, looking back here, it did look like his third. Jonathan Cage's first, though.
Second.
Second? Where the hell did Cage?
He was in a cage match with Strader.
Oh, that's right. This is his first match since that pay per view. He's actually had a bit of a hiatus between then and now. Okay. We had Chameleon defeating the Grim Reaper. Psycho Sandra making her big PWA return with in-ring competition. Defeated Alex Wilkie. What the fuck's up with Alex Wilkie? I had him pegged as, you know, kind of the next world champion kind of guy. And
I keep telling you he's our main event Scotty Snow.
He is. I mean, I'm just looking at the archives here, and I'm going back, and May 2nd, last time Alex Wilkie's won a match. So we're going to talk about that here in just a second. And then the team of Corey Lazarus, Nightmare, defeated Mark McNasty. So,
and Matthew Engel.
Yeah, but I would say that really McNasty was the loser in that scenario. So yeah, to go into a little bit more detail here real quick. Might and Magic, of course, they whipped up on the O'Connor boys. A guy by the name of the Phoenix got involved and did some more whipping up on them. And basically just it was kind of like shooting fish in a barrel, that match was.
What happened at the end of that match?
The end of that match?
What happened at the end of that match?
Oh, the referee raised Might Magic's arms.
As Phoenix declared the under the ring.
Yeah, wasn't the Phoenix dragged up under the ring and, like, the hell beat out of him?
I don't think that happened.
He has memory loss. You have to go with it.
That's what I think. I think that's some, like, rum or vodka or something in that Yoo-Hoo over there that he's drinking.
That would be. I do enjoy some rum. Not the
selective amnesia.
I just want to know what's up with the Grim Reaper. He can't seem to focus on one guy at a time. I mean, Phoenix and me.
Well, it's like they said. Maybe he's bit off too much to chew on. Bit off more.
I would say so. Definitely. He's not even going to make. I don't know. I think I want my match before the street fight at the pay per view because I don't want any excuses from him after I beat him. You know, into an inch of his life.
Well, no, I don't mean to correct you, but I'm going to correct you. There isn't a street fight at the pay-per-view. It's an elimination match at the pay-per-view.
All right.
But we'll talk about that in the next segment there. Skippy, I know, it's not your fault. You wouldn't know. It's your brother running the show. He's the one that books the matches. It's not your job to know.
Well, maybe it's this. You know, maybe he realizes the Phoenix isn't much to worry about, and he just wants to take care of business.
Me personally, he's not, so don't worry about
So it'd be a quick 1-2-3.
Well, if Mark McNasty can beat the Phoenix, I guess anybody can.
You know,
this is true.
It seems to me as though we're having some technical difficulty. I think a couple people's mics are going out. Now, I'll tell you what. I did want to talk about this. What's up with Alex Wilkie? McNasty, tell me. He's your BFF. So why is he? What's up with him?
Wilkie's just going through a hard time right now, transaction and all that good stuff, and he's probably a little sad that I ditched him in the tag division to go for the big picture, but he'll get over it. He's a big boy. He'll figure out something to do while I'm off winning the world title.
Really? Did anybody else pick up on this? First, he's having a hard time, and now he's a big boy. Are these coded messages that you're sending, McNasty?
Rob, you and your sick little fantasies that you would enjoy all too much, man. I mean, you need to go see a therapist and get these ideas out of your head, or go finally stop living in the closet.
Have you two not have enough matches against each other to get this aggression out?
Yeah, I do actually have a standing appointment with Dr. Stephen Remo for Wednesday afternoons. So
very, very good.
Rob just needs to go out that since I'm banging his wife.
That seems to be your favorite pastime, banging other people's wives.
Well, tight parents have to share everything, you know.
So does that mean I get to beat up Bud Adams?
I show you once I make an appointment. Bud's always up for a good beating.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break. We will come right back, and we're going to talk about Retribution. I almost said high stakes, but that would have been way in the past. We're going to talk about Retribution coming up here next week, so we'll be right back. Hey, and we are back from our break where much discussion was had, but you won't get to hear it. Ha ha. Now, let's talk about Retribution. It's coming up. It's on Friday. It's huge. That was a pretty good one. So let's just talk about the matches real quick. You know what? I should probably pull up the calendar instead of the sheet that I got here, which is not really – I don't see it on the calendar. There it is. It's a little word. So – Let's start at the top. We got a number one contendership match for the TV title featuring... now, the TV title's the lower tier title, is that correct?
Usually, yes, but we've had some pretty good matches with it.
Well, so. I'm not disputing the quality of the matches, I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. Because we...
It's the lowest tier title, yes.
Okay. So, we've got the returning Circa taking on the fallen superstar, Alex Wilkie, who we were just discussing, and I was not really leaning into that on purpose, but hey, there it goes.
Actually, Wilkie came to my brother. He wanted to go for a lower-tier title and try to work his way back up to try to reprove himself, so it was actually his choice.
Oh, very nice.
The beer title did make him here, so, for this round at least.
Yeah. We've got a stockade match between Chameleon and the Grim Reaper. What exactly is a stockade match, please?
Stockade match. I think I'll let Reaper take that one.
Well, what it is in the, I guess in the witches' day, like back in Salem witch trials and all that, there was a stockade that people would get locked in whenever they were believed to be witches or something along that lines. And it's where you stick your hands through on each side and your head goes through as well, and they take a big board, I can't think of the actual dimensions of it right now,
uh-huh.
And they lock it down on top of you, and then you have to lock it in, and the person's basically helpless in there until they get released. So anything can go while they're locked into the stockade.
So is it... How do you win that match?
I think it's when the person is locked in, that's going to be the end of the match. But whether anything happens post-match, you know, a lot can happen. I think it's a PWA first. I don't know if it's been done in any other federation. But when it was brought to me as a challenge, I accepted it. I have no problem with this type of match. I've been in far worse than this.
All right.
Inside or outside the ring?
I'm sorry?
I don't think it's been decided yet.
I think the stockade's going to be outside the ring.
I think it's been decided. All right. we've also got a number one contendership match for the Grizzly Beer title. I don't think either of these guys have had a match yet. The Kumquat Kid and Brandon Nova. This would be the debut for both of these. I mean, I know the Kumquat Kid has been in the PWA previously, if memory serves. Is that right?
He was scheduled for a match last week or yesterday.
Like years ago.
Yeah, years. Well, his famous time was actually in the W4F, where he was W4F champion. His PWA career is not as good as his W4F career. But that's where he kind of came from. I know he had a time in HIC, and as I said, he was scheduled for a match yesterday. That kind of fell through thanks to a lot of interference by Frost and Nova.
All right. And so that'll be a good one. We've got a tag team elimination match, a six-man tag match. We've got the Phoenix and Might and Magic taking on the O'Connor Boys and the Grim Reaper. So not much to say there. That ought to be a cakewalk for the much more experienced,
Dumb and Dumber and Super Chicken.
I don't know who you're talking about, but I'm, the four. I'm sorry?
How are you feeling walking in after being dragged under the ring and beaten last night?
That's what I want to know.
I would love to know what you're talking about. So, we've got a last man standing match between our very own Project X and Deacon Frost. And if anybody remembers from 2 weeks ago, last episode, that match was made right here on PWA Radio.
Yeah, see, with this match, I'm going to be a role model to all the kids and show them what happens when you run your mouth too much.
And he's such a good
To even like go into a match with me, a straight-up match is suicide, but to make it a last-man-standing match, I think we should have him committed.
very nice. I like the dismissive laugh too. That was awesome. We've got a TV title match featuring our champion Fire versus Psycho Sandra, the returning Psycho Sandra, who I guess is at a match, but you know, returning nonetheless. Now Fire, is she going to be there? Is she training? Is she ready? She's going to be good to go.
Oh yeah, she's going to be there. She's really hyped up for this match.
All right. And we've got a Grizzly Bear title match with the seemingly perennial champion, the Patient Zero, Riona Langley, taking on Scar, who bit of a roller coaster ride here in the PWA for Scar, but maybe he could dethrone the. But you know what? I'm just gonna say sorry, Matthew Engel, but Riona the Virus Langley. What?
Rob, quick question. It seems like Scar's caught your attention. Would you be willing to venture out and say that he's replaced Kyle Stevenson as your boy?
Well, I don't see Kyle Stevenson on the card for Retribution, so sure, why not? Scar is the new Kyle Stevenson. Is that a compliment? I don't know if that's a compliment.
It's not going to be good for his win-loss record.
We've got a TV, we got a tag team title match. No rules, but there must be a winner, which sounds like a rule to me. So one rule, there must be a winner. This is the Deadpool versus Mystery Team. And I'm just going to go right on the record saying the Mystery Team is not Project X and the Phoenix. I'm disappointed. How about you, PX?
Yeah, I was all set for double duty and everything.
Yeah, especially after, you know, you would have already beat Deacon Frost in the Last Man Standing match, then we could have just, you know, repeated that for the big tag team win. But we'll just have to take on the new champs whenever that's crowned. Now, yes?
Project X's record in team play isn't very good anyway, so Phoenix, you wouldn't be very happy having him as a partner.
I can, you know what, I place a lot of faith in Project X, and my wife says he's quite talented, and I'm just going to stand by her opinion.
Chameleon, have you heard your brother talking about this mystery team? Is it that we don't have a team because it's sort of last minute, or have you heard anything about we just don't know, or are they keeping it secret? Have you heard anything?
I know who it is.
Well, I guess that takes care of that question.
And I've been sworn to secrecy. My entire PWA career is on the line if I mention it. So
please tell us then.
Yeah, please.
I figured.
Well, that mystery team's going to be in luck anyway because it's going to be a handicap match by the time we get done with us.
Now explain to me, please. What does this mean? No rules, but there must be a winner. Is this like a hardcore match or because
anything goes as long as there's a pin. Followers a mission to determine a winner for the tag team titles.
Okay.
It's basically anything goes. I mean, we've had enough street fights, you know, or no rules, or no DQ we have. It's just basically no rules. It's anything goes.
So there's three rules. There must be a winner, there can be pinfalls, and there can be submissions. That's three rules. Why are you lying to the fans?
That's not a rule. That's just how you win.
That sounds like a rule to me. That's a rule that defines how you win. Why do you hate the fans?
I'm not in charge, remember?
Oh,
good
answer. So there's
no fight to the death.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that would be a rule too, wouldn't it?
That would be. That would be another stipulation.
Well, it's just the fact that you can't continue when you're, you know, dead.
Yeah, that's a technicality, not a rule. All right, we've got an intercontinental title match. When I first read this, I nearly read it. I read it as Night Striker, the champion, versus Matthew the Virus Engel. But that would be incorrect, people. Don't buy the pay-per-view based on seeing Night Striker defend the IC title. Because
Taser can't afford Night Striker.
Because that was 8 years ago. No, instead...
Between better health coverage and better steel structure, we can't afford Night Striker anymore.
No, that's true. He's making way too much as a florist in San Francisco to come back here. No, it's Nightmare, the champion, taking on Matthew the Virus. Or I'm just Matthew Engel now. He's not the Virus anymore. That's Riona Langley. And in our world title match, Corey Lazarus will be, of course, retaining his title.
Oh, Rob, it's going to be so fun to bring that thing in here and just hold it in your face and let you try and gawk when you see it.
Well, you know what? To give McNasty credit, this is a rematch from Genesis. And Mark Manasty did walk out the winner in that match.
So
good to be.
I fail to see the significance. Now, okay, so yeah, McNasty has a title match, but
it
that's
must
all
be
right.
A scary world you live in, Rob.
It's no, I'm pretty happy. It's a nice.
So is your wife.
I don't even know what that's supposed to mean. You better watch your dirty mouth.
You better watch your wife too.
I know his voice safe at me. He's okay.
No, I did watch, and it was a little frightening. I'm not gonna lie.
You know where your wife is? Well, PX does now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I run a shelter for lost wives.
that's enough of that. Now.
That ain't what your wife said.
Now I.
We may want to go to commercial.
We are gonna take a quick break while I go in and try to gather some dignity. So,
and while he's doing that, maybe PX will grace us with a parts unknown jig.
Yes.
All right. Come on, I'll just put on my dancing shoes.
Nice. We'll be back in. Alright, we are back with part one of a 12-part series of interviews with my favorite tag team partner of this last month or two, Project X.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. That was high praise as far as I'm concerned. So
I deserve it.
I'm going to go ahead and say yes, you do, for teaming up with somebody as fantastic as me. That's foresight, even though you had nothing to do with it. Now, let's talk about you know what? First, we'll just start at the beginning. You were the first PWA World Champion here in the new revitalized, reborn PWA. Is that
correct?
That's right. I'm always correct. Now, so how exactly did that happen for our new listeners that don't go back and watch the old shows?
Well. Comedian here, who was present at the time, he commissioned a little event called the Keys to Glory event, where a series of matches came where the winners won keys, and these keys unlocked a title belt. And there was about two or three of these matches, and at any time you could trade your key, or if someone beat you, they could trade their key for yours. And at the end of this little series of matches, I have walked away with the world title.
Ah. And that was actually like a month-long process, something like that. It was a very long process for people that were not aware. They think it's just, you know, like a one-time kind of win. So then you actually – how long did you hold on to that title?
49 days in total.
Not that you're counting, right?
Not that I'm counting.
And then, of course, you lost to the title to Razor on his like third attempt to win it.
Well, I didn't exactly lose the title. I think the first two matches I retained, and then I was robbed.
Oh, that's actually a much better way of looking at it. I think I would agree.
Huh? So I retained against him twice, and then he screwed me once.
I wish the same could be said about my wife. yes.
She always retains me.
But I wish she'd only screwed you once. That's what I really wish. Now, and then, of course, you started tag teaming with me, the quite possibly the greatest wrestler in the history of the PWA. And together, we're pretty much unstoppable.
Bullshit! Goddamn cold.
You must have got a frostbite. Didn't Frost and, what's his name, Savior Bronze Williams defeat y'all?
Not exactly. Not as such.
There's a problem with the cameraman of that. He had the wrong camera angle.
Yeah, not only the wrong camera angle, but also cheating in a cage match. The whole point of a cage match is to keep people outside and, you know, not involved in the match. They aren't supposed to be involved in the match. So actually, I'm just going to say the PWA failed the fans on that match. It wasn't our fault. It was the PWA failed the fans.
It's only the only way guys like Ledge can make a name for themselves.
Absolutely. Well,
I can say, yeah, of course, like I said, you know, I'm the blind pimp, or Bean, however you want to go and call me. You know, somebody did tell me that Phoenix, your foot, both of your feet did touch the outside.
Indeed, they did.
That's what they told me. Now, whether or not they were lying to me, trying to make me feel better for you, or, you know, trying to make you feel better for yourself, I don't know.
I don't think that's even possible for me to feel better about myself.
He just lost to me for 2 weeks. In a row, he's not going to feel better about himself for a while.
He's not going to feel better, period, for a while after falling that far from the cage.
That's an excellent point. And another excellent point is the fact that Mark McNasty sucks pretty bad.
I wasn't going to say anything, but I mean, PX personally asked me not to get involved, so I just sat on the sidelines when he was done. Your wife still wanted a little more, so.
the operative word being a little more. Yeah.
Hey, he already called you short a while ago, X, so shut your mouth.
Yeah, I said he was quick, fast. Not a marathon runner is what I'm getting at. But
now I get the job done.
Well, yeah, you know, that's why I tell her. I'm like, you know, it's when I'm ready, I'm ready. You should hurry up. It's not my fault. Now, since people are so thrilled with that, that's just scintillating radio. Now, you, of course, were in the PWA way back in the day. You were world champion back then, is that right?
Yeah, about 2000.
Yes, and just a single-time world champion?
Well, single in the first reign, and then second. And I beat Panzerdeist to win it at the time.
Well, now that's fairly impressive, because Panzerdeist was a... something. Anyway, now, what? I had another question all lined up here, but now you've got a big match coming up, Retribution. You got our old nemesis. Is it nemesis? Nemesi? Anyway, our old opponent, Deacon Frost, of course, challenged you to a match. Or did you challenge him? I'm forgetting. I'm getting so goddamn old.
He was the one who had to screw loose. He challenged me.
Okay, so he's an idiot. And he challenged you to a match at Retribution. And so you're just going to kick his ass. Now, have you had a street fight before? Or a false count anywhere? I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, sure. The third fall against Razor, where he screwed me over.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you know, like most Razor matches, I tend to block that out. Boy, the peanut gallery is awfully quiet tonight, too.
Y'all are putting me to sleep.
Yeah.
You sort of hear all the retailers give away Razor DVDs.
You probably don't want to go to sleep around Project X. He might have ideas.
Don't worry, I felt something
tickling.
Well, yeah, you know, I don't think there's a concern there, because I don't think anybody else but me is married, so.
I put duct tape over it. He's not getting in even if he knocks.
Well, I wouldn't see it coming, but, you know, I damn sure feel it.
I'm very resourceful.
What I hear is when Project X is behind you, you never see it coming.
That's right. I'll use my blind tapping cane and beat the hell out of him with it.
There's just so many things wrong about this whole conversation, and it makes me sad. Deep, deep.
You were doing fine until you mentioned us being quiet.
It makes me sad too that I'm blind. You'll be okay.
I don't think I'd want to see PX coming for me or coming on me or anywhere around me.
We're on MTV, not Cinemax, okay?
Yeah, this whole
I just like when they put up a struggle.
It's just so this show's so
it makes you feel like you've achieved something.
A good time at Ridgemont High.
I just feel that this is taking an ugly dark turn. So what's the deal? You seemed unfocused since you've lost your title. I don't think I'm the first person to say it, or maybe I'm the first person to say it to your face, or over the phone line as it is, because you can't throttle me like you do my wife. What's your question? My question is, you were pretty much a dominating world champion. You lost the title, got screwed out of the title, whatever. You're not the champion anymore, and you've just been... Why are you not going after the title again?
Well, a series of things have drawn my attention away.
Hold on a second. What are you doing in here? What comment?
Who's he talking to?
It's not your fault. My wife is in here. She heard that Project X is on the line, and she's in the room.
She wants to schedule a rematch.
I say hi to my mistress.
Yeah, so I kicked her out of the studio. This is very that was very upsetting.
Very, very. We hate to see her go, but we love to watch her leave.
Hey, man, tell me what it looked like. I couldn't see it again. I felt some big pressure.
I think McNasty's got some of that Vaseline he's been saving for Circa around here.
Yeah, I always keep Vaseline in abundant amounts, so don't worry about that.
Don't tell Project X that.
Hey, Bean, do I need to point you in the direction of the bathroom and give you one of those cans of Vaseline?
Yeah, thanks. I'll take it. I'll be right back. It won't take me long.
That's not necessarily a virtue. So back to my question, since this has just all gone to hell. I'm just ashamed. This episode's never getting aired. That's what I've decided. This is not up to my usual quality of awesomeness. Now, why are you not trying to get the world title back? Why are you being such a puss?
Well, a lot of things have been pulling my attention in different directions lately. Like teaming for you, for instance. And just the basic lack of foresight from the PWA management and Razor getting in charge.
So you would say that you know, you want the world... But it seems to me like the PX of old would take a world title shot. He would go and he'd just beat the living fuck out of Corey Lazarus until, you know, there's no option. So are you getting old? Is that really what's going on?
Well, let's just say I've got more short-term things in my mind. I've got a friend who has a baby coming into the world. And I want to be there to be a part of that.
I'm a little bit confused. What the hell are you talking about?
Bud Adams.
Bud Adams? What, he knocked a woman up? How the fuck did that happen?
His wife.
Well, no, I understand the process. I just don't understand.
I can give you a demonstration with your wife there if you want.
No, that's not
you already did, didn't you?
We get a baby with a mask under a mask.
He has to repeat a class.
Can I get a play-by-play of that action?
So the impending birth of a child has really got you distracted, and okay, that's fair. That's a lovely, a miraculous event, and stuff.
Well, did you not forget that on the May 30th edition, Project X did have a chance to go for the world title again, and he blew it?
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's distracted because his friend is having a baby.
This is just a matter of circumstances working against me. I'm not expecting anything with Razor being in charge. Like, if that match, for instance, I was put in first, and you just know I'm never going to get any breaks with Razor in charge.
Sorry about that, man.
To be honest, we all pretty much thought we were going to be first because, let's be honest, Razor hates all of us.
He doesn't hate me. We're old friends, me and Razor. We go way back. Something or other. So that's just a sad story. I'm very disappointed that Bud didn't let me know about his baby. And he's old too. How old's his wife?
As old as he is.
That works.
All right.
Phoenix, you've been so drawn into your own matches, you haven't realized that this Adams thing has been going on for at least a couple of months.
Well, I forget about stuff.
Like being pulled under the ring by the Reaper?
I don't.
Yeah, that caused a lot of forgetfulness there.
I really don't think that happened.
That just happened yesterday.
Yeah, I'm a blind man that I even saw that happen.
So, don't you have like a baseball game to umpire? Why are you here?
To give you hell.
Oh, okay.
And I'm waiting in line for your wife too.
Oh, I like
she's
this.
You'll be a world out of cue goes around the block.
Hey, it might be like a coffee can, but I'll hit all four corners.
This is where did we
find this guy, Rob? Was he sitting on the street corner?
Hey, most blind people are begging for money.
Selling pencils. Yeah, we're gonna take a break because I'm very sad and I want to cry. So we'll be back after Echo. We'll be right back.
Nails in our eyes. O'Grady is dead and O'Hanrahan's gone. We drink and we die and continue to drink. O'Hanrahan, no O'Hanrahan.
Hey, and we're back with the part that I've been looking forward to. Echo, echo. The big OC part of the interview with our multi-time guest, Michael McGinnis.
Oh, God damn, it's going to be one of those interviews.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to tell you who did the music that we just came back in from, but I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised whenever we come back. You're gonna like it, so it's good Irish music for you. So, and actually, I don't know. I might have just let the cat out of the bag. For people that were not aware, Mike is Irish. This is probably a shock to one person, two people.
Wow, I didn't know.
I know.
Get yourself up off the floor, people.
I'm sitting down already, but damn, that floored me.
I bet it did. I know. And that's what PW Radio is all about, is bombshells like that, people. So
he wasn't faking the accent. I'm impressed.
No, I really thought that last week and the week before or whenever that Deacon Frost was faking his accent, but I don't think he was. and so anyway, now don't distract me, please. No, to the interview. To the interview, Mobile. No, why are you doing that? No, so how long have you been involved in e-fetting? Because I've known you for a while.
I'd say probably around about 9 years. It's going back a good while now. Man, I started out.
And this is the part that really, really like grinds my gears, I guess you could say. You're like 22?
Just turned 22, yeah.
You son of a bitch.
I'm so, like Dorian Gray.
Wait a minute, I'm going back to the history to find out when he was beating me in the PWA to find out just exactly how horrible I feel now.
Yeah, approximately when he was like, you know, 12, 11, 13, somewhere in there. Yeah, he was...
When did you just turn 22? Because I turned 22 about 3-4 months ago.
June 1st.
Okay. You beat me
back. Well, happy birthday, man.
Thank you very much.
But no. Are you saying that the Chameleon versus Project X matches we had, you weren't even out of puberty yet?
I was probably in the midst of it.
Oh God, I feel bad.
Oh, wait, no.
Confusion going on.
No, hang on. No, it works different because they got metric puberty over there, so it probably works.
So he wasn't even in it yet. Oh shit!
Let me tell you, I was a man since I was a boy.
Condensed and it goes by quicker.
So all right. So how did you get into e-fetting?
Yeah, so pretty much I was about 12 or so when I first started getting into e-fetting. And at the time, like, I was a huge, huge wrestling fan, like encyclopedia of knowledge on wrestling. And I used to buy the Pro Wrestling Illustrated magazine.
They have those over there. That's interesting.
They do, yeah. And I don't know if you remember, but they used to have in the Pro Wrestling Illustrated, they used to have like a fantasy wrestling. And it was like they had their own created wrestlers in PWI.
Oh, yeah.
And you picked moves for your guy, and you sent it off, like, and you got your results back. But living in Ireland, I couldn't do that because it was a strictly American thing. But I remember when I first got the internet installed, I was thinking there might be like an internet version of that. So I did a search, and a bunch of feds came up, and I think the W4F was one of them, the original one. And I remember sending off to a bunch of feds, and at the time I had an email account set up by the shop. So when someone replied to the email, it didn't actually go to my email address. And I just, whatever way it worked out, I think Chris was the only one who actually probably copied and pasted my email address, so it actually went to my inbox.
Ah.
So I ended up getting into the W4F that way.
Lucky us.
Oh.
Well, actually, I would say...
I was a whore looking for guys. That's probably why.
Because it was lucky for him because he found the PWA, the I don't even know. I'm at a loss for words tonight. The fantastic.
It's kind of weird as well because I remember starting in the W4F. And the first week I was there, I remember seeing, like, Welcome New Arrivals, and it was me, Night Striker, and Stephen the Monkey McDonald.
Oh, God, yeah, I remember that.
Wow. Man, now, I was there, too, though. I was in the W4F as fucking Derek Stephen Taylor, who was a Stephen Regal knockoff, basically. But nobody remembers him because he was nothing.
No, I remember him. I do. I've got the CD here with all my old wrestling shit. Yeah, I'm going to see if I can find the stuff on it while you keep talking.
Yeah. So yeah, I had Derek Stephen Taylor and his what was this? His finishing move was like the Texas Cloverleaf with a, what do they call that? The Trafalgar. Is that how you say that? Trafalgar.
Trafalgar. Yeah.
Yeah, the Trafalgar Square is what he called it. It's a thing. It's a place.
You had a move, and you couldn't even pronounce the move.
Well, I assumed it was Trafalgar, but you know, I've never actually heard anybody say it out loud, so I had to guess.
I've heard of
it's like Prince, the unpronounceable symbol.
Could be. So, all right, so you were... Jeez, that just makes me sad. So, yeah, all right, so you got into the W4F, and of course they ended up, you know, folding or what have you, and come in with the PWA. So I guess that's how you get your start there.
Pretty much, yeah.
And then, of course, you got won various titles and kicked some ass and became a world champion. And were you there whenever they ended up closing the PWA? Or did you just get burned out before then?
I'm not sure, really. I remember being in the W4F, and then it merged into the PWA, like the second W4F. And I'm not sure if I was around for the end or not. I think by the cards, I wasn't.
So, and after the PWA folded or you left or, you know, whatever happened then, were you still in e-fetting at that point, or did you just say, fuck this shit?
No, pretty much everything I did in e-fed revolved around the PWA. I kind of had, like, short stops elsewhere, but pretty much about 90% of my e-fed life has been in the PWA.
Oh, okay. So how did you end up in the PWA again this time?
It was pretty much by accident. I still had Chris on my contacts list on MSN, and I came on and seen him on MSN, and he had the PWA is reopened, and he had the website link, and I took it from there.
Oh, and apparently that worked out fairly well, considering you were the inaugural champion.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
And
I've got some stuff from the PWA.
I'm sorry?
Glad Hello? That wasn't just me. I think
yeah, things have dropped here. How's the connection on your end?
Oh, it sounds okay, except for just that one glitch. Everything's fine.
I'm dropping out here. I don't know if it's me or if it's you.
I think it's you. All right. I don't think we actually haven't lost him, but so I don't know. That's kind of cut and dry, actually. So anybody else want to jump in? Anybody want to ask any questions or anything?
I do have a question. I know you're masked, but what does your mask look like?
Oh, how'd you describe it now?
I don't know. Pretty much... I can't see it.
Well, it's all white, and it's just pretty much a face mask. There's no specific design to it.
No, I didn't know if like the certain colors or if it was all black with the X on it or...
Is it specifically a Michael Myers mask?
His face is Michael Myers.
Yeah, but if he's blind... Oh, wait.
I know who Michael Myers is.
Oh.
And that's the mask. I use him as my picture base.
Okay, because I love those movies. I've seen every one of them, like, with actual sight. Up until... What was that last one? Resurrection?
H2O? Was that the last one, or is there one after that?
It was one after, I think.
Oh, and then there's the remake, too.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that one.
I haven't either.
I've seen all of them except Resurrection.
Okay, I did find one here. Ty Copas versus Derek Steven Taylor in an internet title laser tag match.
I seem to recall losing that match, actually.
How do you have an internet title laser tag match?
No, I vaguely remember that, and I think I lost it, actually.
Yeah, you did.
It was a match involving laser tag. It's exactly
so
what it sounds
like. Why was it called
like.
The internet title?
It was on one night only. All of them were really stupid matches. The first one was a SmackDown 2 match. And
well, I can take this, Kyle. Actually, the PWA, the original PWA, had an internet title. And the reason, I think they had it before the TV title, although I could be, that was years ago, so I'm not positive anymore. But it was the reason that the PWA at least had an internet title was kind of a joke, because like WCW had a television title, and I'm like, well, we're not on TV, we're on the internet, so we're going to have an internet title. That's literally how, as far as the PWA came along. I don't know about Chris. I'd always just assumed that the W4F had the same names as the PWA because we were like related feds, I guess.
Affiliates, more or less, yeah. Affiliates.
So I figured that was, you know, to kind of keep things kind of parallel there. But I could be completely wrong about that, Chris. I don't know.
No, it's about right. It's about right, yeah. I mean, the internet title, I mean, oh my God, why did I use pink as a background for a pay-per-view? Anyway, never mind.
Hello there, sailor.
Hey, you know, when I first started e-fedding and running my own fed, I wasn't exact. I got into it too quickly. I think I matured enough. That's why this PWA is running real good, because I'm not.
He got into it really quickly too.
Yeah.
Slippery. I don't love the way it
felt. Gold Rush, back in January 27th of 2001, I've got a damn pink background for the pay-per-view. Oh, well. Derek Taylor versus Grifter. Okay, there we go.
Not an I Quit match, though. I was not that guy.
No. Nope. And you won.
Yes! Take that, Jarrett.
Wow, your under guy beat Grifter. Go you.
Crazy White Boy versus Nyko.
Actually, whenever Chris first told me that the PWA was opening up again, I very nearly brought back Derek Steven Taylor, because I liked him as a character, and the W4F was the only time I ever used him. But I for whatever reason, decided to go with Phoenix.
What happened to him now? Is he running like a place next to Night Striker's Flower Shop?
No, he actually did come into the PWA for like a one-off type of thing to like back up Might and Magic for something or other. But nobody knows him. Nobody has any idea who the fuck he is, so he doesn't do shit. It's a sad, sad world for Derek Steven Taylor.
He must be a bad guy.
We have some interesting old matches here now that I'm going through them. Damn, what do we got here? I mean, okay, Troy Martin, do you remember him?
Yes, I do remember Troy. Yeah, I was going to say, probably PX does too. He was around.
Oh, yeah.
Buddy Snow won a match? Wow. I think that's back when you were controlling Scotty Snow. I know you don't remember too much about it, but you did, and I think in the W4F, and that was probably his best win-loss record is when you were running him.
Yeah, I do remember, because I probably stole that from Mikey P. Mikey P, for whatever reason, decided to rehabilitate fucking Steve Morley's career. And so he made a tag team with Steve Morley. The bird, and he renamed him the Birdman, Steve Morley.
And yeah, so I got the second W4F2 run. I've got all the shows for that one at least, but the original one I don't have them all. But I got a little bit with Taylor there, and a couple things with Project Deck. So,
what's the word I'm looking for here? Success did PX have in the W4F? Tell us more, record keeper.
In the original W4F wasn't there long before it was folded into the PWA.
Oh, so you're making an excuse, is what you're saying.
I think it was pretty. I think Troy Martin was the first person I was booked against. I think before I got the face, and it was folded into the PWA.
Wow.
That was October of 99 when it folded into it.
Wasn't that, wasn't there like a match, like a darkened, like room match? Does that make any sense?
A lights out match?
Yeah.
That was on the same card with the one night only. Who was that against? I just had that.
I could have swore that the Dragon maybe was in one of those.
Wait, October?
So the Dragon versus Deadline, world title, lights out match, yep.
October 99.
Did I lose that one too?
No, I guess nobody could lose against Deadline unless they didn't role play. Him and Lifeline, oh my god, do you remember those role plays?
No, I don't remember anything about it, but I just.
Is that like Hype Stream and BWF, Chris?
No, let's put it this way, the role plays by these two characters, you could, if they posted three each against each other, it would fit on one page.
Wait, the Dragon was a W4F world champion.
Yes, it looks
Fuck
like
yeah.
so.
Fuck yeah!
Rob, didn't PWA open in 99? How could I thought W4F came out of PWA.
It did.
About 6 months.
Oh, so about 6 months after it opened?
Yeah, but
yes.
Everything moved really fast back then. The only involvement I have in e-fedding now is the PWA, so I don't know how shit works now. But back then, man, if a fed was around for like 2 months, it was like fucking ancient. So,
oh, I know, right?
Yeah, and people would come and they would not to name any names, Kyle Stevenson, but people would come and be a member for a couple of months and they would start their own fed and you know, whatever.
Oh, this is interesting. I'm reading the end of this. It says, either way, the Dragon pulls off an upset and wins the world championship. And Robert, the other guy, I guess the name's ahead of time. And apparently you were part of the MOA then with the Dragon.
What? So the Phoenix and the Dragon were MOA.
Yeah, the Dragon pulls off an upset and wins the world championship, and that puts the MOA back on top here in the W4F.
Wow. These
MOA people were just fed whores.
Oh, man. You got no idea. It was, they were everywhere.
I fucking hated MOA.
Yeah, I did too, and so that's what I'm confused about, because... Because they actually tended to really dominate storylines. I mean, just because there were so goddamn many of them, and they were all kind of like on the same page as far as like what their goals were and stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't have a pay-per-view in the PWA back then that was like, you know, every match was, you know, somebody versus the MOA.
Wait a minute. Did MOA, was it the same people in all the different feds, or was it like a branch in every federation of the MOA?
There were some people, like Ben Duke, who was on episode, I think, 4, maybe?
Yes.
5? Anyway, whatever.
Yeah, 4.
It doesn't matter. Anyway, yeah. He was the one that started the MOA, and so he went around to most of them and had at least a character. Or, you know, would stop in and make an appearance or whatever. He was actually in the PWA as Gabriel.
And Cole.
And so he would... and so you'd have some of the same people, like Darren Rydell would be in, like... He was all over the place as their, like, leader.
The boss of the MOA? Or was Duke?
Duke was actually the guy that thought of it. I think after he got out of E-Fetting, then Rydell kind of took over. There was some kind of something or other. But anyway, so they all had like this kind of like a NWO type of thing where they had this specific goal. And so there were tons of people, but they were all working towards a particular goal. So I would not be surprised if, you know, you went through the archives and found a whole PWA pay-per-view that was nothing but PWA versus MOA, because there were just that goddamn many of them.
Sure.
So, and that was kind of fun because we also had like the SWG whenever it was like an invasion from them. That was Thunderwolf's old Fed that he started.
That was SWA, I think it was.
Yeah, it was SWA.
Yeah. I've still got Star Wars Galaxies on the mind. So. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff like that where they would, and I think probably SWA probably had a branch of the MOA, and it was just they were fucking all over. Pretty much anybody that was in the AOWF had problems with the MOA. Yeah. So what about UPX? You ever MOA?
No, not that I recall. Anyway, I never liked the idea of the MOA, so I was never a part of it.
Yeah, see, that's what I would have said, too, until I found a card where Phoenix was champion being escorted to the ring by Nightstriker and Silverback as a part of the MOA. Like, what the fuck? That didn't happen.
And then you found Dragon being MOA champion over in WF4.
That, really, I never would have recalled.
Well, you know what? No one thought Sting would go NWO either, so.
Yeah, that was... I'm still heartbroken.
I remember when that happened.
That was fucked up.
That's when he had the red and black face paint, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, that was Wolfpack.
Yeah, red and black started out where they weren't really NWO. They were like all the fan favorites, and they just mixed the fan favorites with the NWO logo. And then there was the whole clusterfuck of the black and white and the red and white merging, and Hogan switching over to red and white, and the red and black, and the white and black being the jobbers.
Yeah, it was, that was just a complete clusterfuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, the original NWO was a good idea. It's what put WCW on top of WWE for a while.
Yeah, that's what I started watching. My first pay-per-view was it was the month before they did Diamond Dallas Page and Jay Leno versus Hulk Hogan and Rodman. I think it was Luger. I think it was Luger and Big Show versus Hogan. Someone maybe. I don't remember. It was
Yeah, see, back June of 97.
Yeah, back then were the days before digital cable, so you didn't have to have a cable box. And I had a
You did have to have a cable box. You had to get a box to see the pay per views.
Oh, see, not where. Well, all right, we had like a cable box, but not the digital cable box. It did all the converting. Yeah. So we had like the little box, but I had a filter, so I got like all the channels plus free pay per views because the pay per views were not on like an encrypted channel. So I got like all of them every month, and that was awesome.
I think back then with the NWO as well, they nearly did what the WWE did with the brand extension years before they did it. I think like they did test shows at the NWO where they just NWO.
Yes, they absolutely did. They took over an episode of Nitro one night, and it sucked.
And, I don't remember that. I forgot a lot about all them those old matches and stuff. I used to. Go ahead, Rob.
Oh, I was gonna say I've got videotapes of most of those shows.
Well, I could tell everyone how sad I was back then. The person who brought me into wrestling for real, like, I'd watch occasionally with my dad just because he'd flip it on and Sting would be on there or something. But I started watching WCW for Glacier, so that's how sad sad my idea of wrestling started out, if anyone even knows. Let's the guy who dressed up like Sub-Zero and it would snow when he walked out.
Oh, yeah, I remember him. I remember Ernest the Cat.
Yeah. Somebody call my mama.
I remember, God, what was that guy's name? He did the Wiggle.
Oh,
Norman Smiley.
Norman Smiley.
Yes, Smiley.
Guy's awesome.
Yeah, he's been in TNA a couple of times, actually. Every now and then he pops up.
I don't know if any of y'all remember, but back in, I don't think it was the old GCW, and maybe some of the NWA, like in the Georgia and Florida wrestling territories. Chick Donovan, Golden Boy Chick Donovan.
I've got no idea who that is.
He's an old veteran wrestler. He's probably 90 years old, I guess. Nah, he's probably like 60-something at least. But I've met him a couple of times, and I mean, he's still getting out there wrestling. I just don't see how he does it, because he can barely breathe. I met him after a match, and dude was sitting there going, you know, like he couldn't catch a breath. And I was thinking, man, why are you still out here doing this stuff?
Inspired by Ric Flair.
I mean, that's who I showed a picture of him to my little sister, and she said, that's Ric Flair. I was like, no. I was like, no. She's like, yes, it is. I was like, no, even I know it's not him. And the funny thing about the meeting I had with him is a friend of mine took me and took the picture with me, you know, with me and Chick. And Chick said, here, show him the picture. And the guy that I was there with turned the camera to me and said, here, look. And I said, dude, man, I can't. And he's like, oh, shit. I mean, there's probably 20 wrestlers back, and they just all turned and started laughing at him. And from then on, you know, we've ribbed him about showing a blind man a picture, you know. But, I mean, it's all been fun.
So, now, like wrestling, this is kind of, I've been curious about. What kind of wrestling do you get in Ireland? I almost said the UK, and that would have been wrong. Anybody that's listening, Ireland is not in the UK, so don't fucking say that, because you're just, that's stupid.
I'm glad you corrected yourself there.
I was just trying to prevent a provincial ass whooping. So yeah, what kind of wrestling do you get over there, though?
Yeah, it's a pretty big indie scene. The UK has a fair scene, and places like Germany have a lot of feds. Here in Ireland as well, we have about 4 feds. And I actually trained with a couple of them for a while.
Get out of town. You trained as a wrestler?
For a while, yeah, for about 2 years.
Holy shit. So, why
said something about you could see for a while, right?
Who, me?
Didn't you say something about you actually saw by sight some of the
Halloween, yeah.
Halloween. Yeah. I saw for almost 17 and a half years.
Kyle, we're going to talk about that next week, because I don't want to run out of interview questions for next week.
Just trying to clarify, buddy.
All right. So how did you? All right. I'm curious about this training as a wrestler. How the hell did you get into that?
Pretty much, there's a Fed over here called Irish Whip Wrestling, IWW. And they opened a school, and I got to know the head trainer, a guy called Blake Norton. And
Wait, that's the Bagpipe Report dude.
That's him, yeah.
I guess in case anybody's not old like I am, the Bagpipe Report, back before you had shit like 4-in-1 Mania and Online Onslaught, there was an email newsletter called the Bagpipe Report by what the fuck was his name again?
Blake Norton.
Blake Norton, yeah. And you would email, and it had all the insider type of news and shit. And that thing was awesome as hell.
Yeah, he went on and became a wrestler. He went over an article to the dungeon in Canada, and he did training as part of a journalism article. But then the magazine he was writing for at the time, Well Magazine.
Oh folded. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yes, that was actually a fairly decent wrestling magazine too. I thought a lot better than like the Pro Wrestling Illustrated, but. That's
pretty much what I read before I got the internet.
Ah, wow. So, that's kind of cool.
Why'd you get out of it?
Yes.
Pretty much the politics of the whole thing. Like, if you think there's politics in e-wrestling, just try real wrestling. It is insane.
So are you a big guy then?
Not really, no. 5'10", about 200 pounds.
Oh, geez. So, you got like 3 inches on me, and we weigh pretty much the same. So, yay. That's kind of cool, though. That's very. I never would have. So e wrestling is more fun, is what you're saying. I guess you don't get hurt at the end of the night. That's probably a bonus.
Yeah, yeah. If a lot of injuries, which was very injury prone when I was doing it as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Shit. That would not be fun.
Once they took away the crash mats, it was all bad.
Oh my god, what? They took away the mats?
Well, they start you out on the crash mat, like just so you can get your proper landings and stuff like that. And then they take it away, and then you just have to take the ring for real.
Oh, okay, I thought you meant like the mats outside the ring or something, like you're falling on concrete. My god, what the hell?
So well, you're saying that... You're saying they took away the crash mats, the soft landings. You had to do it for real, and you went, shit, no.
Oh, no, I did it, but I regretted it afterwards. Pretty much after a session, that'd be the end of the day. Just sit there in the bathtub.
Oh, wow. Hey, you did that for a couple of years, you said. So that's kind of...
Oh, you did build up a tolerance after a while.
Well,
like,
yeah. But...
The thing that really was a killer was taking chops. You used to finish every session by taking chops, and your chest would actually be bleeding sometimes at the end of it.
Huh, now that's interesting, because that's one of those things where, like, yeah, you see on the TV that their chests are all red and, like, puffy and stuff, but, so, a lot of that shit really, like, hurts, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't really know how to say, because, like, I understand, you know, people... You know, they talk about, they're like, oh, you watch wrestling, but it's all fake. Like, well, the outcome is predetermined. But that's, you know, getting, like, fucking dropped on your back repeatedly, you know, night in, night out. That's a whole different fucking story right there.
I think in the course of the 2 years, a strained ligaments in my ankle, had 3 concussions, and was busted open a good few times as well.
God damn.
Like, a few scars.
So did you ever, like cut yourself on purpose, or did you just get busted open?
Oh, no, I wasn't on that many shows. I was on about 3 or 4 shows in the 2 year period. I was mostly in this training.
Okay. Wow, that's fucking impressive.
That's
so, man. Now, see, how do you feel now, Chris? Not only was he whipping ass whenever he was 11, but he was like a fucking wrestler.
He got out of it. I'm not that impressed. No, seriously, I think that's pretty cool. 2 years going through, knowing exactly what goes on in the ring, you got to give you a better insight in your writing.
The funny thing is, I don't actually use a single bit of it when I'm writing a match. If I was to do it like what he taught me, like, it'd just be really, really boring matches. He was like overemphasized psychology, like lockups and going through this, that, and the other. It just doesn't make for good writing.
Well, I know a few people I've come across in e-fetting have wanted to get in or have tried to get into real wrestling, so
Actually, you know. On a side note of that, right now, the guy who was X over in BWF, I know most guys don't know him, he came here as Nick Matthews for a while. He's in a real place right now, and he's actually the place's tag team champion. And he's using his finisher from the BWF as his finisher.
And Wilkie, he did some real wrestling.
What?
Yeah, Alex Wilkie.
Isn't he like 14?
No.
We have to book a real PWA show.
Yeah, so we can all walk away like hurting like fuck.
Yeah, the extent of my wrestling experience was whenever I started watching it again, and I was like reading up stuff like the Bagpipe Report and stuff. You know, so I would see moves. I didn't know what the fuck they were because they didn't have those moves whenever I was, you know, growing up watching it. And I asked my friend who was a big wrestling fanatic. I'm like, what the fuck's like a tiger suplex? What's that? He's like, oh, it goes like this. And then next thing I know, like I'm on the ground.
It's like, thank you.
Yeah, like you could have just fucking told me, asshole. Yeah.
No, and I know that Blazonwing has wanted to get into it, but I don't think he can get off his ass long enough to do anything.
Well, how old is he? I always get the impression he's older than us.
Yeah, he's about our age. He's like 21, 22.
Oh, well, I don't know why. I always got the impression he was older than me, and I'm fucking old. Not like Chris, who's fucking ancient.
Thank you.
I don't know. Rob competes with Chris, I think, for the aged group.
No, he's got 4 years on me.
Wow, 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was sarcasm. 4 years really doesn't mean much once you go past, like, oh, I don't know, 25.
Yeah. I think that spoken like a 22-year-old. I mean, you got no fucking clue, dude. You really don't.
Just goes downhill from when you can rent a car at 25.
Well, once you hit, I mean, 21's like the last, like, decent birthday you get. I don't know. Maybe you can drink at 18 in Ireland, right, Mike?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. So what the fuck?
Doesn't stop you drinking younger.
Well, that's true. But after 18, what do you have to look forward to in England or fucking Ireland?
That's a good question. Lots of kids, Catholic families.
Sure. So so over here, everybody's like 21's the big thing, but. Once you get like to be like 25, 26, it's about 27 for a guy, probably a couple years younger for a girl. It's you look back at the person you were at like 21, 22, and you're like, who the fuck was that?
Don't remind me.
That's what I'm like from like 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, wait for 3 or 4 more, man, and then you'll.
I know, but I'm saying I guess it's not like reserved to when you're like old.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You know what's funny is, especially, and I'm sure Chris, because he's even more so old, whatever, you know, like, right now, I'm 32, and I'm like, man, I don't really, you know, I used to think that 32 was, like, really old, but I'm like...
32 plus 4, wow, we finally know Chris's age.
I think I got that right. I might be off by a year or two, but I think...
No, you're fine. You're right.
Anyway, but, you know, I feel like... I used to feel that was really old, but now I'm like, it doesn't feel old, you know. It's very, very relative. And now even like 40 doesn't seem that old. Of course, to Chris, you know, it shouldn't because he's almost there.
I'll let you know in 4 years.
We'll buy him one of those over-the-hill ponies for his birthday.
You're only as old as the woman you're feeling.
Yeah.
I'm zero.
Actually, the first time, I think there's a lot of like little steps to feeling old. The first time I actually felt old, and I wasn't. And actually, Kyle's probably feeling this now too. Is the first time I like looked in a Playboy and I was older than the centerfold. That was. But I mean, that can happen by 21, 22. So that's
that can happen by 19.
Yeah, that could happen by 19. It didn't for me until I was probably like 20, but I was like, man, that's just weird.
I'm sure Dave says it happens at 18 in 2 hours.
Dude, I know exactly what you mean, though. You look at something and they're like, I'm 18, and I feel old because I'm 22. That's not even in my like radius anymore because that's like high school girl, and you feel creepy if you're the guy in college hitting on high school girls.
That's not even it. It's more like I you know, this whole time you're growing up, and this was, of course, before internet porn, but you're growing up and you're like, you know, looking at the Playboys like, yeah. And you know, you see these older, you know, I'm doing air quotes, which you can't see, but, you know, like older women. And then, you know, all of a sudden, like now there, it's like, it's just shocking. It's very sad whenever, you know, shit like that happens. If that makes any sense.
We all take a moment to mourn. Okay, let's go.
Yes. But, yeah.
Well, you can make fun of my age all you want. I don't care, so.
It's better than the alternative. That's what I say.
I'm worried about what the alternative is.
Well, there's only one alternative to getting older.
Now there is. Who knows?
Yeah. So that's what I figure. People are like, "Why, you're really old." I'm like, well, but I'm not dead, and that makes it all right.
As long as I'm not senile and having people change my pants for me, I'm going to be a happy old person.
You know, I would actually.
I'm actually looking forward to that.
I would be happy, yeah, with somebody changing my pants. I've got no problems with that. Not at all. But yeah, whenever, the other night, whenever Mike said how old he was, or how old he wasn't, that made me a little sad, because I'm like, but I've known this guy for like 9 years. That's not right.
Facing him off in role-playing, getting my ass beat, that's not right.
Yeah, that's...
No, that's
Chris is not, not worried about age, he's just worried about his ego.
Yeah, there you go. No, it's bad enough thinking that my opponent's got one eye watching cartoons while he's running a role play.
No, it's really kind of funny because that was...
And eating, wait, were you eating Lucky Charms too?
You don't actually get those over here. Everyone keeps showing that in Irish people's faces and they don't know what it is.
Who wants some Lucky Charms?
What about Darby O'Gill? You got Darby O'Gill or...
Oh, yeah, we have Darby O'Gill.
What, is that, was that just a Disney movie, or was that like some kind of like story that they made into a movie?
Oh, no, that was just some like stereotype gone wild.
Yes! Featuring a young, awesome Sean Connery.
Because everyone loves Irish stereotypes.
I don't think that Sean Connery's Irish, though.
No, he plays everything as Scottish. He even played an Arab as a Scotsman.
But isn't he Welsh? Or is that... Am I thinking, remembering wrong? Because I could have swore he was not actually Scottish either. Because his accent is getting, you know, much more pronounced as he gets older.
As far as I know, he's Scottish.
God damn it, you're in that region. You should know this shit. Don't you know somebody that knows him?
That's like saying, like, oh, do you know Paddy Murphy? You live in Ireland.
Yeah, well, why the fuck don't you? It's like the size of, like, my backyard.
It's Paddy Murphy.
That's what I was going to ask.
Some generic Irish name.
That works.
Man, you guys
like
are just...
Sean and Seamus.
IMDb in this shit, Sean Connery.
I'm just ashamed of all of you on the show tonight. I just want that to be stated for the record.
Yeah, Sean Connery was born in Edinburgh, Scotland, UK.
Oh, well, then...
In 1930. 25th of August.
Alright. So, who's the biggest rock band there in, or just, I guess, band in Ireland right now? Because I want to have some Irish music, some nice authentic Irish music for the show.
Well, there's no big bands as such, it's mostly boy bands.
I see.
The big bands are the old ones like U2 and people like that.
They're awesome. Wow, so that kind of sucks, because here's what I got for you so far. I got some U2, because I know that they're Irish. Van Morrison is Irish. What's his name? Elvis Costello? He's Irish. The Coors are apparently Irish. The Cranberries, they're Irish. And is that it? Is that all you guys got, like five bands?
No, just Tin Lizzy as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're Irish.
I didn't know that.
And there's Horse Lips.
I see that. We don't get those over here. So they can't be very good. I think I'm just going to go ahead and give you the Bay City Rollers, too.
I think Dropkick Murphys are from Ireland, aren't they?
I thought they were from Boston. They were Irish-American.
Could be. I just know...
Because if we're counting that, then I think we can get some House of Pain, too.
Go and pick on the blind guy. Shut your mouth.
Hey, this has nothing to do with sight. It has everything to do with crappy bands from Boston.
I didn't know you were from Boston and played in a band.
I'm not. I'm from...
But you say crappy.
Yeah, there's plenty... Man, I'll tell you what. I'm not going to take any crap from a dude from Georgia. I'm just going to say,
hey, fuck you. You do every week.
I fuck you every week?
I didn't get that.
So, yeah. You're being very rude to our guests, all of you, and I'm just disappointed.
I haven't said a word.
So, back to my original question. I've gotten wildly sidetracked. No, I'm curious, like, what kind of, like, pro wrestling products, like, as far as, like, WWE, do you get, like, the pay-per-views there, or...
We get all the pay-per-views. We used to get them all for free. It's only released, you've had to pay for them.
Well, didn't you get used to getting them for free because it was in, like, 2 in the morning?
It still is 2 in the morning, but we have to pay for it now. It's not like they changed the time just for us.
But you guys don't get that time change technology? You guys are getting fucked. Does anybody watch them?
There's a good way to watch it. That's like, I just have a box, and I just hack into it, so...
Well, you're up until, like, all hours, though, because it's like, what, like, fucking 5 a.m., 6 a.m. there now?
It's one of the perks of being a jobless bum.
So, oh, shit, there was...
Who's scratching their mic?
It's not me, because I can hear it, but it's not me. Anybody that blames me is a liar.
Someone's lathing a wooden dildo.
Oh, that's me. Yes. So, you know what? I think we're gonna go. We've been recording for a long ass time, so we're gonna cut it short here now because I have a feeling Michael will probably be on next week because he's on all the time now. He's a perennial guest. Maybe
we're
he's gonna take over
5 questions.
Wait, I'm not goddamn done, Kyle.
Let the man speak.
So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with the 5 questions for our good friend fucking Michael McGinnis.
Like tell you about now, baby. You know she comes around. She's about 5'4". From my head to the ground. You know, she comes around here just about midnight. She make her feel so good. She make her feel alright. And her name is G. Hell. Whoa. Comes around here just about midnight. She make me feel so good, love. I wanna say she make me feel alright. Comes walking down my street. Watch come to my house. She knock upon my door. And then she come to my room. Now she make me feel alright.
Hey, we're back. We're going to let the co-host take over here with the five questions for our very special guest. All the way here from U2 Town in Ireland, we've got Michael McGinnis with us. So take it away, Kyle.
Oopa. All right. First off, I think the first one, isn't it how did you get into RPing, which we already covered?
No. It's what is your favorite gimmick match?
See, there's the bro.
Blew it already.
It's okay. I know like two more, so I'll be fine after this one.
But there's five.
Oh, fuck.
It's the NyQuil.
Well, are you going to answer, buddy? What's your favorite gimmick match?
All right. I probably don't specifically have a gimmick match. Now, there's a lot of gimmick matches that I do like, but I feel they milk a lot of them too much. Like, I used to like Hell in a Cell when it was a feud-ending match, but then they pretty much every pay-per-view had Hell in a Cell, and they used to like the ladder match, and then they had that in every pay-per-view. So I probably have to go one that's they don't do ever, all the time, and probably say the Royal Rumble.
That's not a bad choice. That's an original, though. Seeing we haven't heard that one before.
That's the only one they don't do every single week.
Yeah, well, that's not a bad one. I mean, that's a good one, been around for a while, so let's move on. What's been your favorite feud?
Again, probably wouldn't have a favorite feud. Well, nothing that I remember. But my favorite person to feud with probably was Monkey McD. We never had a prolonged feud, but we had like lots of mini feuds. And Project X was actually responsible for the creation of JoJo in one of the role plays.
Well, wait, how was that? I mean, I'm just curious.
And who's JoJo?
Not that I doubt. That was his monkey.
Oh.
Yeah, we had a role play against him for one of the matches, and he was walking down like kind of market stalls, and on one of the market stalls there was like one of them toy monkeys, you know, that what bang them, what you call them things, the symbols.
Organ grinder.
Yeah, he had one of those, and as a demonstration towards McD, he smashes up the toy during the role play, and Monkey Crispy just came up with a brilliant role play afterwards where he did like a kind of $6 million monkey role play. And he brought all the pieces together, and that's how he made JoJo.
I forgot about that. That's awesome.
All right. I love Christmas stuff. Nice. What's been your least favorite person to RP against or face?
My least favorite? Probably the people that probably annoyed me the most were... Well, they'd have to annoy me. I'd probably go with someone more recent. I'd go with Gabe Shelley.
Oh, poor Gabe.
What happened to him?
He went to RXW.
Yeah, he's tight with Blazing Wings, so...
he just frustrated me so much, though. It's like, I remember posting like a roleplay that I was pretty proud of, and he comes back like with poetry that doesn't mention anything about the match at all. And I remember he hooked the deadlines as well. I remember that's pretty much the only match I disagreed with the result of, because I lost that match, and it really pissed me off that I lost one, even though it didn't count for anything.
I do have to admit, I was quite proud of my little interjection that where I had the PX figure kissing Gabe Shelley's ass, and out of nowhere it just said, PX can't beat Gabe Shelley!
Well, thankfully I got to avenge the loss at Genesis.
You just had a fun time with those BWF guys, like your wonderful little... world title match with Blazing Wing.
Oh, I love that one.
All right, let's see. Cover favorite stip, favorite feud, least favorite. We're going to skip to the next one. I remember. I know this isn't the right order. What's been your favorite experience or match or feud or whatever in your time?
I'll probably go favorite match, and I'll say with Ron the Fear Porter. We had a kind of match, we had kind of heat OOC, and we didn't get along very well. And then when we came into role-playing this match, we kind of mixed elements of the OOC into it, kind of referring into it, the locker room and stuff. And they're kind of very hate-filled role-plays, but we really got into it, and it turned out to be like really fun doing it, and we ended up liking each other afterwards and getting along after.
Did that roll into anything?
Not really, it was pretty much a one-off match, but it was probably the most fun I've had role-playing for a match, just because the venom that was put into it.
Yeah.
Got the juices flowing.
Well, I know, like, sometimes that can lead to better RPs, because you get more into it, you're more angry at the person, you want to tell them off. I mean, when I took on Bean and the first time he showed up, I was so pissed at you, dude. It's what made me want to RP every day, because I just want to tell you to shut the hell up.
I didn't know any different, you know?
Okay, so Mr. Host, what's the question we're missing?
Well, the last question is, who do you most want to feud with here? You know, who would you like to feud with in the future?
Well, that one's easy. Joe. So I really, really like Joe's stuff. And we've kind of been on the verge of a feud a couple of times already, but never gone full-blown into one. But I just think me and him could do something, and it'd hold up on role plays and story-wise. I think it'd just be a really good thing.
I'll keep that in mind.
All right. That's
yet another reason for Chris to say I never get to fight you.
Well, let's see. We've got...
hey, I got my binge on pre-PX. No. I'm good to go, so...
Damn it. All right. Well, let's take a real quick break, and while I try to see if we got any more emails or, you know, whatever, we'll come back and we will close this bitch up. All right, and I'm going to bring us right back. Hey, we're back from a super duper long break. That was the super extended version of Stairway to Heaven, the instrumental version. It was nice. Did everybody like that? Good. Wise answer. We've actually got this is amazing. We've got two comments. Well, I guess three technically comments on the blog here, which of course you can find at pwaradio.com. And as always, the threat is if there are no comments or no emails to us, and emails can be sent to pwapodcast@gmail.com, or even, you know, send me a private message on the forums. That'll be fine. Either way. Or blog comments. Then I'm just going to talk about myself for a half an hour. And I'll do it. Don't think that I won't. I love the sound of my own voice. Well, I don't know if I really love the sound of my own voice as much as I just like to talk. I don't listen to you. I don't even listen to what I have to say. So
we don't either.
Yeah. So, our first comment on the blog is by now multi-time blog commenter, Project X. Would you care to share your message with us?
I'm still watching you, McNasty.
Dude, what do you not understand about restraining order?
Well, that sounds hot when you say it like that.
I like when they put up a fight. I think I said that earlier.
Yeah. And now we've got our second comment from the blind pimp, apparently. So would you mind sharing that, or do you even remember what you put?
Something about McNasty sucks Phoenix nuts or something like that. I couldn't remember.
Oh, it says, great show, even if McNasty sounds like he has a dick in his mouth, which he might. Still a good show. Get rid of McNasty, though. It'll make it better. And then...
I think I was drunk when I wrote that.
You're going to ask me where the restroom is one day, and I'm going to point you in the direction of a really tall cliff.
Won't be the first time. I've had it done to me into a wall before. It hurts.
And then finally, the reply to that comment was from me, actually, at which I declared that Bean is my new favorite listener. So that's it for tonight, folks. It's late, and I don't know, I've had some fun anyway, and found out some amazing things, such as, you know, Blake Norton's whereabouts in Cork. That's just the weirdest fucking thing. That is a name I had not heard in years, never thought I'd hear again, and here we go.
And after 6 weeks, Mike was an official guest.
Yes, he's he was
in training.
He's out of the peanut gallery and into the hot seat, and I think it's a good thing that he got on here before Riona Langley did, so he doesn't have to worry about, you know, the hot seat doing anything, you know, making him burn when he pees. That's always some nice. Sort
of, I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
BD.
So,
but that's what tag partners are for.
All right, folks, so that's it for this week. Be sure to tune in next week. We will talk about all the exciting happenings at Retribution, and we'll have a special guest. I'm just going to go ahead and announce it now. We're going to have the blind pimp Bean be on, and tune in, and please send us some questions. Talk to you.
We can't just listen to Rob stroke his own ego much longer.
Well, actually, I'll tell you. You know what? I might
at
just
least
threaten.
He ain't stroking something else.
Yeah, I was gonna say that was gonna be my threat. If once I get tired of stroking my ego, I'm gonna start stroking other things, and I can be quite vocal. That's all. That's all you need to know.
And now Bean wishes he was deaf.
You know, I am actually deaf in one ear. So.
Yeah. So tune in next week for quite possibly the sexiest show of all time.
Is it because I'm on here, or because your wife gonna be on here?
No, it's because
his wife's preoccupied being on Project X.
Damn, I'm waiting on my turn.
She's very vocal as well.
I wish, but that's a topic for maybe a marriage counselor. I don't know.
I sent Bean there to the tape, and you went blind from stroking.
I seem to be the only lucky one because. Seems out of the group, Cirque is the only one who doesn't starfish right away.
What the fuck does that even mean? You've mentioned that twice now.
Starfish, it's when they just lay there with their arms and legs out and just lay there. You know, dead fish, you know.
Like a starfish.
I've never heard that phrase.
He's into necrophilia.
I guess. Yeah, you know what? Maybe McNasty got one of those.
If you see McNasty in the cemetery with a shovel, be very suspicious.
Yeah.
I did that over with Riona.
Yeah, I would not at all be surprised if it turns out that McNasty's got a real doll. So there you go, guys. That's it for this week. And from all of us here, including Mark McNasty's real doll, go fuck yourself, San Diego.